Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the EFG Daily Commute. My name is Steven Dutzman, and I am your host, and this is my ride to work. I'm also, it is worth mentioning, the founder of EngagedFamilyGaming.com. That is a website on the internet where parents like myself and my co-host come together to make sure everyone has the information they need to get their family game on. This weekend, I just want to say I got my family movie on, as did a whole lot of people. So as is becoming a tradition, I'm going to do a movie review. I don't normally do these, but I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to talk about Avengers Endgame because, man, do I have some hot takes. So, first I will say, I am going to spoil the crap out of this movie. So if you haven't seen it and you're planning on seeing it at some point soon, don't listen. I'm going to talk for a little bit longer and tell some non-spoiler things. So you got about a minute if you're driving to switch this over, but I'm bringing all the spoiler heat today, because I think most of my opinions and funny stories and things about this movie, really, I can't talk about them without, spoiling it. So I actually went to see the movie twice this weekend. I went once with the general and my mom, who, you know, she comes in, you know, we'll talk about my mom and the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a minute, but I went with my wife and my mom, and I brought my daughter, who is young, and it really came down to, I kind of expected to just put headphones on her and let her play 3DS on the floor, if she got bored. You know, I wasn't worried about the movie really scaring her so much, even though I knew it could be intense, just because, you know, she's seen a lot of these movies before, and, you know, she really doesn't have much problem just kind of hugging one of us. So I brought her, and what I expected to happen happened. She's little, so she just, you know, she watched the parts of the movie that were cool, and she definitely liked Captain Marvel, because who doesn't like Captain Marvel? But she, as a young girl with long blonde hair, was like really all in on that. And yeah, and then I saw it again last night in IMAX with my older son. Yeah, I took my son to go see Avengers on a school night late, but really what happens is he goes to a school that is a middle school and a high school combined, and they have a real problem with high school kids running down the middle school hallway yelling spoilers, which is super messed up, but the only real solution to that was for me to bring him to the movie. So I had to make the sacrifice, guys, and I went to go see Avengers twice. I'm sure you could imagine I was super broken up by that. So, yeah, here we go. I'm going to go into spoiler territory in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, final warning. All right, here we go. Spoilers. So, Endgame was in my estimation, I think it was the perfect end to the Infinity Saga. They built up to this for 22 movies, and I felt like every payoff was earned. I thought every reveal was earned. I thought a lot of characters got their time in the spotlight to really show how they have grown, and, you know, kind of where they are going. It's impossible to talk about Endgame without talking about the ending, which showed the end, more or less, of the superhero reign for Captain America and Iron Man. You know, talking about Iron Man first, and starting the movie and having Iron Man be a dad, as a dad, and having him have a daughter, being a dad of a daughter, you know, I've definitely identified with a lot of the emotions that he was having, right? Like, he had a second chance. Everybody died. He, by the grace of Captain Marvel, who was able to bring him home, he survived barely, and was able to, and Pepper Potts survived the snap, which, you know, 50-50 shot, but still. And then they were able to, you know, survive the, you know, the turmoil that came afterwards, and they built a, you know, they had this beautiful cabin, if you can call it that, and, you know, had a child. You know, he had a new life, and to risk giving all that up and ultimately giving it all up to help save trillions of lives and bring them all back and also end Thanos. Like, Thanos is dead. To do that, to rid themselves of Thanos for now. Because I don't believe that anybody's dead forever. Because this is a comic book. For the fact that he was able to do that, that resonated a lot with me. Man, cause I don't know if I could have done it. I mean, he had the idyllic life. And he still had all his resources. He still had everything he needed. And he kind of jumped back into it. So that was, I mean, man, did I ever cry. Not when he made his sacrifice, because I saw that, because I felt that was coming. What really struck me was the funeral with everybody there. And it was the scene with Happy talking to his daughter. Like, I'm starting to tear up now just talking about it, so I'm not going to go over it. But, sitting there listening to Happy talk to Morgan, Iron Man's daughter, that was Tony's best friend. And so I couldn't help but think about my best friends talking to my daughter in that situation, right? Man, it really hit me. It's still hitting me. My oldest, he cried when Spider-Man was talking to Tony as he was kind of going away. And, and that makes sense because Evan is a teenager. So he sees a lot of himself in Spider-Man, right? So just like I saw a lot of myself in Tony Stark. So, and I don't normally do that. Like when I pick, when you think about which characters you kind of see yourself in, I don't see myself or identify typically with Tony, but this is the first movie where I actually did, which is, which is interesting. They kind of put him in a position that I haven't really been able to identify with him. I've never been like infinitely rich and, smart enough to make whatever I want. But they actually made me identify and feel for him. And then, again, another character you can't talk about Endgame without really getting into is Captain America. Like, talk about the end of his arc. The fact that he swore 3 times in this movie, which is more than anything he's done before, like that he embraced the modern age, and he kind of stopped being humble. And I think that was, an important thing. Like, it wasn't humility just for humility's sake. Now it was, I am Captain America, I have to do this. Man, that scene with him standing up as just one guy with all of Thanos' army rushing against him, like before help came to save him, which, by the way, man, we'll talk about that in a second, but him being willing to stand up to all of Thanos' armies and Thanos with a broken shield, I was, like, that scene is iconic Captain America. I don't think I'll ever be able to, I don't think I'll ever forget it. It was, man, I didn't know it was going to happen. But that was, for me, that was the peak of Captain America. That's where he was like, nope, I can do this all day. I'm going to just keep fighting until I'm dead. And he absolutely would have been willing to do so, whereas so many other characters would have just left or run and tried to hide. And he was like, "Nah, I'm gonna fight this." And the way that help came, the fact that it came all at once, like, yeah, it was a little theatrical, but man, was that earned? Because I had to explain it to Evan. How did they all get there at that same time? Well, you got to remember, Doctor Strange and his boys, they can, I mean, they have portals, and he knew the solution. Like, he knew who was coming back, where they were, he knew everything. And so, like, quote unquote, he knew who was going to be at the fight. That's why Hope Van Dien, who had never met any of these characters before, she was teleported over and was fighting alongside all these characters that she had never seen. And, man, it was so cool. Oh, man. So, that fight scene at the end, where they really did a great job of letting characters each do their thing, but really showcasing the power of some of the characters that are going to be a big part of the MCU moving forward. So, for example, Captain Marvel took down friggin' Ronan's ship by herself. She just crashed through it. And the Scarlet Witch doing what she did, which was amazing. You know, we got a great couple of seconds of Black Panther, you know, doing his thing. And a whole bunch of Spider-Man. Valkyrie. I mean, so many cool characters that got their moment in the spotlight. Just long enough for us to remember who they were and to remember what they could do. I just thought that was so, it was really neat. And watching it a second time, and I encourage everybody that's a real fan of this to watch it a second time and really pay attention to, like, the background in the fight scenes, because everybody gets a little bit of a turn. You know, everybody's doing cool stuff. They're all there. It's really neat. And lots of cool combos of, you know, characters kind of fighting near each other that wouldn't necessarily have done so before, which is awesome, right? That's what these superhero team-up movies are all about. But there's one moment that you absolutely have to talk about out of that fight scene, and that was the girl power moment. In Infinity War, we got a girl power moment, which was, Scarlet Witch and... Oh my goodness, I'm forgetting her name because I am so tired. But it was Scarlet Witch and Black Widow and Michonne from Game of Thrones, her character, the Spear General. Oh my goodness, I remember her name and then I forget it when I need it. The three of them fighting during Infinity War to defeat that member of the Black Order was such a cool moment. And they took that to 11 in Infinity War. That moment where Spider-Man, who obviously not knowing who Captain Marvel was, just saying, I don't know how you're going to get through all that. Like, just, he was half passed out a little, you know, he was being Spider-Man. And then all of a sudden, every lady, including, like, Mantis, who really didn't have any business on that fight, all of them just rank and file standing in front. Man, was that awesome. Including Rescue, who I had to explain to a bunch of people who Rescue was a bunch of times, because she, because... Unless you know the comics, you don't know it. But that's Pepper Potts. Pepper Potts has had armor in the comics. She has a specially designed suit just for her, and she's Rescue. And, man, was that cool. To see her roll in and get to see her and Iron Man fight, I think... I would have liked to have seen them do more, like with an Iron Man 4 or something like this, but it really feels like all the Avengers movies were a better place for Iron Man to do his thing. Because, you know, seeing him interact with everybody was important. And she, it's not like she was out of place, man. I'm a little confused as to how she turned into, like, this incredible badass in that suit of armor. Like, when was she practicing? But then again, as Evan knows, she knows how to work with Friday. and she's been around Tony Stark forever. And I guess those suits are really, really intuitive. So, you know, now she's an ace pilot, I guess. Man, that scene with, and it had everybody. I watched again. I didn't notice that Gamora and Nebula, like, stepped in front. I know that Gamora jumped up and, like, killed a guy at one point, but I don't know. I didn't notice her stand in front, but everybody got in on that scene. And it was awesome. Oh. So, yeah, I mean, and what's crazy is all those payoffs were worth it, right? Like, they were earned, and nothing felt cheap. And not only that, but the help and the allies that the various Avengers had earned throughout the various movies were there to help too, right? Like, Wong was there, even though, you know, to help back up Doctor Strange, as were all the sorcerers. And, you know, the Thor's guys from the gladiator arena that he rescued, that kind of rebelled with him, they were there. Plus all the, everybody who had never truly been an Avenger, they were there for that fight. And the, man, that moment where, you know, somebody was like, do we have everybody? And it's like, who else do you want? And then Ant-Man just bursting up from the ground, and delivering Rocket and War Machine to the fight. That was just so awesome. I've said awesome like 50 times. I can't help myself. This movie, just everything about it. I also really appreciated how it did a really great job without telling us what it was doing of setting up the next phase of Marvel movies. And not just Marvel movies. We can't really say that anymore. We have to say, like, the Marvel, like, because it involves the TV shows now, right? Like, because they have said that the shows that are going to be on Disney Plus are actually going to involve characters that are part of canon, that are part of the movies, and they're going to affect the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we're going to have to watch these shows. And they gave us stuff to do, right? Like, there's a show about Loki. And now we know, you know, that Loki got away in that past 2012 alternate reality with the Tesseract. So we could have a whole show all about Loki figuring out what happened there. And maybe trying to get his way back to the actual MCU. They set up the next Ant-Man and the Wasp because, those, if you don't know the comic super well, Cassie Lang eventually gets her own Pym particles and becomes Stature, or Stinger, depending on which character, which way they want to go. You know, do they want her to be big or small? Even though they can be both. You know, branding is a thing. And so, you know, like, there's that. And that was set up perfectly. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, they basically just wrote the script, like, right there. For the first, like, the first page of the script was just right there. They're going to go get Gamora, and they got Thor now. Which reminds me, I don't think I can talk about, I have to talk about Thor. I had a friend of mine reach out to me. He wanted to talk to me about Thor, because there's some folks that are complaining online, because, like, his weight and jokes about his weight were used as, like, a shorthand for him letting himself go. And that was kind of fat-phobic, fat-shame, you know, that they were, like, fat-shaming Thor. And I kind of get that. However, I would have been upset if Tony Stark got fat or Captain America got fat. Or, you know, if they use that bit on, you know, Black Widow, right? But Thor was a literal god. You know, he is not naturally fat, right? Like, we know that there are some folks myself included, who are just naturally big. That's just what happens. And that there is nothing wrong with that necessarily, right? If somebody wants to make changes, they are welcome to try and do so, but they are not wrong for being who they are. Thor is the literal Asgardian god of thunder. We've seen what his natural state was. He wasn't working out. Thor himself was not working out regularly to get that way. This is what happens, and we know they have fat guys in Asgard, and what happened? How do you get that way? By living with excess and not... And here he was, living with excess, not being who he was. And you'll note, he eventually, towards the end of the movie, really embraces who he has become. He doesn't all of a sudden like transform into this mega cut buff monster at the end. He's still the Big Lebowski dual wielding legendary weapons. And that's okay, right? Like, he didn't all of a sudden get thin. They didn't fix it when he became more godlike. He embraced who he was. I also think, and this is a like three quarters formed hot take, so like a lukewarm take. I think Thor is a superhero lesson for millennials, and that really speaks to me now that I think about it. Right, think about it. So Thor was born a god. The world was just handed to him. He knew exactly what he needed to do. What he was going to do. He was the Prince of Asgard, destined to be king, God of Thunder, and he went about and did what he needed to do. And he felt like he was right, and like he knew the truth. And he went out and he did it. He did everything that he needed to do. And in spite of things that were beyond his control, truly, his world was destroyed. So his idyllic golden palace world, he can never have, because Ragnarok happened and his world was destroyed. And then on top of that, personal failures mounted and he wasn't able to stop Thanos from doing what he was going to do, right? Like, to a degree, he had a mission and he failed it once, right? And so he fell into depression and despair and sadness and anxiety. And I think the anxiety is the piece that really speaks to me, right? Because there are so many people who are, so many people in my generation who thought they had it all figured out. They went and did it and it didn't work. Right? Like, they got their degree, they went into a field that collapsed, or they couldn't get a job in their field because there's too much competition, and so now they're doing something else, and they have to, and they're struggling because they hate it, right? Because that's not what they're supposed to do. They were supposed to do something else. They were supposed to be a teacher, but now they're a corporate trainer, and maybe they don't like it. But he took that and has embraced it. So, no, I'm not going to be the Prince of Asgard that's destined to be king. Now I'm going to be a space pirate because that's what I am right now. And embracing the impermanence of what we are, I think that's an important lesson that a lot of folks can take, right? Look what he was, right? He had it all figured out, or thought he did. And then in the matter of a couple of movies, everything went away. I think we can learn a lot from Thor and his, Big Lebowski look and, embracing who he is. I think it is not unironic that he put it that when he reached his final form and put on his armor and was fighting with Stormbringer and Mjolnir, that he had a man bun in, right? Like, it was exactly what I think people in our generation need to see is that we may have had plans and they may have fallen through, and we may be living in a world that is not what we wanted or what we dreamed about, but all we can do is do our best with what we are. All of us had dreams. Everybody asked us what we were supposed to do when we grow up. If you asked me what I was going to be when I grew up, I was going to make games. I was going to be a game designer. I was going to make the next Final Fantasy. I was going to run this world. And you know what? I'm not. But I do what I do. And man, have I embraced it. I think all of us should too. I think that is a lesson to be had, from Thor and Endgame. So those are some of my thoughts. I do hope that you guys have a great day. I'll be back talking video games soon. Don't worry. There's only, we looked out over the rest of the year. There really aren't that many more movie reviews I'll be doing. Probably Spider-Man and Detective Pikachu and the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Obviously, no spoilers in the group, but if you'd like to send me a message or shoot me an email, you are welcome to do so. And we'll go into that. So I do hope you guys have a wonderful day. And we will talk soon. Until tomorrow, don't forget to get your family game on. We'll see you soon. Bye now.